Hey guys, I do not think we checked to see what podcast this is. I think it's 83 or 84.
I think it's 83.
Okay, I'm not sure. Well, we're getting up there anyway. But yeah, so we are back. I'm Jen.
I'm Carrie.
And we are doing, as we have been doing here lately, something a little different. This relates directly to our guys. We are not going that far afield. But we're going to discuss an actor who, let's see, he's the only actor to date that has been all three. Eaten by a shark, eaten by a dinosaur, and attacked by a giant gorilla.
Nice.
Yeah. He has worked with both our guys. I think he has. I'm trying to think. Has he worked with Johnny?
I don't think so.
What? I'll have to go over his list of movies again just to be sure. But anyway, he's only a degree separated from him. So, yeah. But we are talking about Samuel L. Jackson, the one and only, one of the best actors ever, the best actor in the world for taking the word fuck, using it as a comma, and making people love it.
Yeah.
That is actually one of the character traits he looks for in the film roles he goes after, is they have to be characters with a bad attitude who like to cuss a lot.
Yeah. Yes. It is R-rated if Sam Jackson's in it.
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. And the thing about it is he's quoted as saying, you know, I didn't fucking talk like this before I started acting.
Right.
So when I say Sam L. Jackson, what's the first movie that pops into your head?
Well, and listen, just to kind of follow this up, he has not worked with Johnny Depp.
Okay.
However, he has been very vocal in a couple of interviews about Johnny Depp recently.
Really? Good or bad?
Where he has basically said that, a lot of actors, if they get too deeply involved, will turn harshly critical of themselves, and it will lead to a spiral.
Really?
While this list is full of actors of all calibers, two of the most notable names on Jackson's list happen to be Johnny Depp and Emma Stone.
Johnny Depp, I can definitely see, because we've had news that he is indeed spiraling.
He said, for example, in the case of Depp, he's admitted he has never watched any of his movies recently because it feels like looking back on the past for him.
Wow.
So he is basically asking Johnny to do something else because this can be a very messy spiral, as we learned earlier this week.
Yep. I learned about it today.
Yeah, apparently it was 5 days ago.
Ah, okay.
But what happened?
Let's just spit it out. Johnny got drunk, spent the entire, 2 days before a concert partying. Lots of drinking, lots of drugs, no sleep, and passed the fuck out. Could not be awakened to do the concert. They had to cancel. And I'm going on speculation here.
Okay.
Because the cause for the cancellation has not been, quote, determined. They just said Johnny was in ill health. Well, the fact that he was at the hotel bar swigging it up an hour before they canceled the show.
Yes.
And was extremely visibly drunk then.
And there were people that were on their Twitter accounts, doing pictures of this and going, geez, Johnny's getting wasted right here in the bar next to me. That did happen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, I love Johnny. Y'all know I love Johnny. And the friend who sent me the article was like, I didn't know if you were going to use it on your podcast or not. Of course I am. I refuse to be. Okay, I am not Fox News. I am not CNN. I am not ABC, NBC, or CBS, okay? I don't talk just about what I want you to hear.
Yeah.
I talk about it all. It is big news. It is news about Johnny. And yes, I'm going to talk about it. I'm not happy. I'm extremely, extremely upset about the situation. But I'm upset in a peripheral way. I'm more concerned with the man's health and his mental state. Because anybody who's dealt with addiction knows that until you hit rock bottom, you're not going to change. And I do believe it was it Tommy Lee? Or was it Dee Snider who said, or was it Dave Mustaine? Who said that it's extremely hard to hit rock bottom when you're rich. So, you know, and it's true. I mean, those of us normal, average, ordinary people that make a normal, average, ordinary paycheck, yeah, we hit rock bottom fairly quickly when we get involved with the drinking and the drugs and the, you know, partying and all of that, because the money goes very quickly, and then you find yourself doing things that you shouldn't be doing. And you either end up caught, you end up in jail, you end up, yeah, you know, there's just, yeah, you end up in trouble one way or the other. However, when you have the money to burn, yeah, that doesn't happen. And as long as you can wake up and do it again the next day, you pretty much just don't care. So hopefully Johnny will hit his rock bottom before it kills him.
Yep, agreed.
I mean, I would never consider myself a psychic. I've never considered myself able to predict the future. I've never considered myself a dreamer, none of that. Mm-hmm. But I have had the same nightmare since Sleepy Hollow days, since around 99. I've had the same nightmare about Johnny dying in a fiery car accident. Mm-hmm. So if that happens, I'm not going to be fit to live with.
Just like James Dean.
Unfortunately, yeah, that's one of his idols.
Oh, and by the way, very quickly, some news that I found that I think is very interesting, and I want to hear your take on it specifically, even though you do not like to hear the name that should not be mentioned.
Okay, what's Amber Heard done this time?
All right, so the condition of the DC Cinematic Universe, of course, we already know is kind of in tatters.
Right.
That being said, there are incredibly, incredibly, incredibly reliable reports, because there have been screenshots and people using their cell phones, but Aquaman, the second Aquaman film, is in the middle of its third series of reshoots. Now.
Wow.
Now, yeah. Reshoots are kind of a standard part. You just kind of got to deal with it, but usually it doesn't take too long. A second series of reshoots is alarming. A third series of reshoots is awful. And people that are close to the source are speculating they know why they're doing these reshoots. Would you like to venture a guess?
I can only think of one reason.
What would it be?
That they have recast, that she's no longer in the movie.
And it would appear from initial reports that you are correct. They are excising Amber Heard from the second Aquaman film.
Question. Is Momoa still lead?
He is still lead.
Good. The man finally found some integrity. Good for you.
I always liked Momoa.
Well, that was the...
But he got stuck with her.
That, no. No. No, no. Check it. That was the original reason they did not recast immediately when it started looking like Johnny was going to come out on top on this. When Amber Heard turned in such an abysmal performance at the trial. They originally were going to recast. Momoa said, she leaves, I leave. Y'all get rid of her, you're going to have to find somebody else for me too.
Huh. Well, apparently he's the reason. His mind.
Yep, he is the reason that she stayed as long as she did on Aquaman 2. Mm-hmm. So that's why I said good. I'm glad he finally got some integrity about him.
Gotcha.
And you know what probably happened?
What?
And this is just me speculating. If she wants to sue me for defamation, she can. I'd like to see that. That would be funny. But because this is purely speculation, but I could see it happening. Them being on set or at a screening or something like that, and her reaching over, you know, laughing at something he said and like slapping his arm. Or, you know. You see, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because there's certain female types that do that all the time. If I'm going to slap you, it's going to be on the back of the head, and it's going to be for a good reason.
Right.
And I'm kind of instead a female of like Gibbs some, that way.
Yeah, instead of some cue.
Right. Instead of some, you know, little flirty, you know, I'm trying to be a flirt, and yeah, I know your wife is right next to you, but ha ha ha, smack, you know.
Yeah.
I can see it happening, and him going, oh shit, they were right.
Yeah. You know, I am absolutely convinced that she is an opportunist.
Well, I mean, there is absolutely nothing wrong with taking advantage of what God gave you to make your way in the world, okay? I'm sorry, I don't give a damn if you're an actress or a hooker. You know, do what you want to do. Do what you feel is right. Do what you got to do. And take what you got and make the best of it, sure. But she goes beyond being an opportunist. She is a manipulator. She is a liar. She is the worst of the Hollywood traits all combined. Sorry, but yeah, she is.
Quite true.
You know, the whole defamation thing, I do believe, went as far as it did simply because she opened her mouth. It blew up to be way bigger than she ever thought it would be. And by the time she realized she should have put a stop to it, it was too late.
Yeah, right. It was too late. It was a rabbit hole that she had gone way down.
Yep. And she didn't really have a choice. She had to keep perpetuating the lie or else come across looking abysmal, which she did anyway, but, you know. It just would have happened a whole lot sooner if she'd been honest and been like, oh, well, you know, yeah, I kind of opened my mouth and put my foot in it, and I didn't mean to, and I probably shouldn't have, so, yeah, I'm sorry. No, she didn't do that.
Nope.
That's all right. We did it for her.
Right.
Speaking of which, I am not happy with Netflix at all.
How come?
Okay. They've waited over a year. They are doing a documentary on the trial. And in one article that I read, Netflix, they don't just imply, they actually say that the outcome would have been different had social media and the opinion of the general public not been taken into account. Which, I'm sorry, that's bullshit. Okay? You know what got taken into account that didn't before? The truth.
You know, I think that's an improper assessment, because that judge and that jury were isolated, and
regardless,
they would have gotten a judge. I mean, really.
The thing is, anybody who watched that trial, maybe Johnny is just that much better an actor. We all know he's great. But between the two of them, if you watch Johnny while he's on the stand, he comes across as genuine. He comes across as, honestly, you know, trying to give you everything he can in, you know, with what pertains to your question. He's not up there screaming and hollering, yelling, crying, talking about how rude she is and how mean she is and, you know, how she beat him up and, you know, she kept messing with him and she wouldn't leave him alone and he kept running from her and then she just kept following him and, you know, he didn't do any of that.
Yeah.
He answered the question. He seemed very genuine. If you look at her witness testimony, she looks like, when you ask her a question or when they asked her a question, she looks like she's going through in her head the best character face to put on.
Yeah.
It's not, how much do I tell, or, you know, how far can I stretch the truth? It's which attitude, which character, which part should I play to turn this question to my advantage? It has nothing to do with the truth, and it's obviously an act. It's ridiculous, and anybody who watches that trial, I mean, we watched some of it. You and I both did.
Right.
And, you know, you know exactly what I'm talking about. When, you know, you ask her how her marriage was to Johnny in the very beginning, and the first thing she does is break down crying. That's ridiculous. Are you serious, or are you just on drugs? You know, are you kidding me? And then trying to imply that Johnny was the only one who was partying, Johnny was the only one who was doing drugs, you know. Okay, if you're with someone who does drugs, you're gonna do, even if you don't do it all the time, you're gonna do it every now and then. It's that's how it's gonna happen.
Yeah.
To sit there, oh yeah, well they do it, but I don't. Okay, no. You live with them, you sleep with them, you work with them. You're together pretty much all the friggin' time, and you're gonna tell me that that's part of their, and you're so controlling over every single other part of their existence. That's one part of their existence that you just have nothing to do with. Yeah, no, honey, nobody believes that.
No. That being said, I ended up finding the extent of her acting, and it's not good. She wasn't convincing. She was obviously trying to act, and she wasn't convincing.
What'd you find?
No, just watching her, watching her testimony.
Oh, I know. It was ridiculous.
Like,
and
this is a bad
was it job. Not the fact, did she not look like, when they caught her face after she was asked a question, she's sitting there going, okay, what part do I play this time?
Well, yeah, you know, and when it came down to it, she all of a sudden put on the waterworks, and she was kind of like the classic damsel in distress tied to the railroad tracks.
Yep.
You know, it was awful.
Yep. If she could not come up with a suitable answer that made her look good, she did what women everywhere do. And no offense, yes, I am a woman, but I still think this is bullshit and this is something I don't do. Is she starts crying, turns on the waterworks, tries to change the subject. Okay, in a normal conversation that might work. In court, not quite so much.
Right. Correct.
Yeah, I know some judges around here. I'd love to see her do that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that'd be great, right? Right.
Oh, it would be. I'd love to see her. I'd love to see Bill Massey pull her over and her turn the waterworks on and think that's going to get her out of whatever ticket she's in for.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be great. Bill Massey is our esteemed sheriff, guys, by the way. Very, very good one. He's been here forever.
Yeah, throw that in.
Always.
Very good sheriff.
Hey, I am not in jail.
No.
And I'm, so, you know, yeah. I owe Bill for that a couple of times. So, you know, but yeah.
All right, so to get off the Bill Massey thing, let's talk about Samuel Jackson. let's move on to something more innocuous.
Yeah, let's move on to something a little safer. All right.
Yeah.
Well, Samuel L. Jackson, okay, he's taking guess.
Though we are going to be celebrating the career of a black man, and I don't know how well that's going to play out, actually, if he is listening.
I really don't care. Actually, no, he wouldn't have a problem with that. Not at all.
Okay. Let's move on.
I'm not gonna state the obvious joke. I'm just not gonna do it.
Yeah,
but,
I get you.
Yeah, no, that's not the part that he would have a problem with. He's not getting a cut. That would be the part he'd have a problem with.
He's not from Georgia. This is unfortunate.
Nope, he's from Chattanooga, Tennessee, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, pretty close.
Chattanooga. About 6 hours away.
Yeah. He's a Southerner.
Okay, so Samuel L. Jackson, Back to my original question. What's the first movie you think of when I say Samuel Jackson?
Well, like you mentioned ahead of time, he's got 146.
Is that 146? Or is that 142?
Or 142. That being said, it's hard to pick one, but the first thing that comes to mind for me when I think of Samuel Jackson is Jules in Pulp Fiction.
Yep.
Damn it.
Now, see, for me, just a little earlier. I believe it was a little earlier. Wait a minute. Which came first? Pulp Fiction or Jurassic Park? Wasn't Jurassic Park 93?
I think that Pulp Fiction, yeah.
See, Pulp Fiction, now the reason I asked is because that's what most people say is Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
So, 142 movies. That's a lot of movies.
It's a lot.
Now, he
started
was born
in 1981.
He was born in 1948, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Making him
yes.
70. Come on, do the math for me. My mind's not working.
Yep, can't do it.
If he was born in 1948. My mom was 1968. She'll be 70.
Oh, wow. Yeah, wow.
Her mom's 1950. She'll be... So he'll be 75. He'll be 75 this year.
Mm-hmm.
Born
and
in...
And just to let you know, Jurassic Park was 93.
Yeah.
Pulp Fiction was 94.
Right. Right. Yeah, I thought Jurassic Park was just a little bit ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so Sam will be 75 this year in December, if I remember correctly, December 21st, I want to say.
Okay, yeah, December 21st, that's correct.
So he'll be 75. Now, 142 movies, that's a lot. Take a guess. Don't look at your notes. Take a guess when he got his first big role, when he became established as a serious actor. How old was he?
His first big role, I would have to go with Coming to America, and that was 1988.
Okay, so how old would he be? 48, 88. Come on, it's not hard.
Yeah, it'd be
40.
Like you actually said beforehand. Yes, like you said beforehand.
40. He was 40 years old when he became established as an actor.
Yeah.
Which is incredible to me. Johnny became established as an actor at the age of 27. All right? If I said he had 60 movies to his credit, I would probably be pushing it a bit. To be honest, I don't know how many movies. I haven't sat there and counted them. But nowhere near the scope of Jackson's career.
No.
And
almost no one, to be fair. That being said,
this
guy is a giant compared to, I mean, we talk about these Shakespearean trained actors and, their long careers. Samuel Jackson is definitely an American treasure when it comes to cinema.
Oh, yes. Now, I have to say.
He has more roles than, Robert Downey Jr.
Yep.
He has more roles than probably anybody that's in the MCU.
Oh, God,
he's
yes.
He's the most experienced.
Here we go. And now, that being said, you talked about classically trained thespians. In 2003, Samuel L. Jackson spoke out against rappers turned actor, saying that as a classically trained thespian, it was not his job to lend credibility to rappers by appearing in films with them. Now, that being said, in reality, he has worked with more rappers than any other single actor in Hollywood. 11 times in 2006. I'm sorry, 2016. He was with Tupac Shakur and Queen Latifah in the movie called Juice.
Yep, Juice. Huge.
MC8 in Menace to Society.
Yeah.
Method Man in 187. LL Cool J in Deep Blue Sea.
Of course.
Busta Rhymes in Shaft. Eve and LL Cool J in SWAT. Ice Cube and Exhibit in State of the Union. David Banner in Black Snake Moan. And 50 Cent in Home of the Brave.
Wow. Actually, that is pretty impressive. That being said, you're throwing out like Home of the Brave with 50 Cent, and that wants me to give credence to Curtis for doing movies like that. You know, these were some fairly high profile, this isn't a rap thing, some of them were.
Some of them were, but there are rappers who do actually have acting chops.
Exactly.
LL Cool J is one of my favorites. I'm sorry. I would rather watch his movies than listen to his music any day.
Yeah, well, he's gifted.
He's brilliant. I'm sorry. My favorite line ever. You ate my bird.
Jeez.
Right before he blows the shark up.
Yep.
Deep
Blue Sea. He was the cook that made it to the end.
Yup. Are you sure there was only three sharks?
Yeah, right.
As he calmly, slowly pulls his feet back out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, yo. Yeah, his character in Deep Blue Sea is one of my favorites. Now,
the monologue when he got eaten was because we had gotten used to Samuel Jackson monologues, in Pulp Fiction with Ezekiel, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And then he gets eaten by the shark at it. That was probably one of the more shocking.
Oh, my God.
Well,
you're
not shocked.
No. I jumped a mile when I first saw that movie.
Yeah, right. I was not expecting that.
Now, the thing about that is, all right, so I've seen the movie. My mother has not. My mom was always a big one for not horror movies, but suspense movies, which is what this was.
Like thrillers.
Thrillers,
yeah.
Exactly. So I was like, you've got to see this movie. Told her who was in it. The only names she recognized were LL Cool J and Sam.
Yeah, right.
So she's like, all right, fine. I was like, you've got to watch this movie. And she goes, okay, fine. I'm like, no, put that stuff down and watch the movie. So she's like, fine. So she's sitting there and she's got her drink in her hand. It's full. And I'm like, he starts doing his monologue. I'm like, Mom, put your drink down. She says, what?
Mm-hmm.
Mom,
mm-hmm.
Just put your drink down. What? Just put your drink down. Fine. She sets her drink down, turns back to the TV. About that time, shark comes up, jump. She jumped like somebody had hit her with an electric shock.
Yeah,
I was like, I was trying to keep you from wearing your drink. Thanks.
You can say what you want about Deep Blue Sea, but the directing, the cinematography, and the actors in that one scene, I don't know if I'm ever going to forget it.
Yeah, and once again, Skarsgård. Skarsgård was in that as well.
Yeah, there were a few people in that. Actually, Thomas Jane was, I'm kind of a Thomas Jane fan.
That was the Wrangler, Shark Wrangler.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's one of my favorites.
You know, and it kind of trips me out because I remember when I was a young man, or a kid, and we had just gotten cable, and we were watching HBO, and it was just late. But they did Ragtime from 1981, which was a drama film set in New York City at the turn of the century.
Yeah.
And it was talking about the ragtime.
The ragtime phenomenon.
Yeah. And, you know, that was apparently his first real, and it was a small part.
Right.
But it was a fantastic film. It was highly regarded, and it certainly opened the door for him to do, like, Coming to America.
Right.
Which we all remember him in Coming to America as a stick-up guy, you know,
right,
guy that was going to rob the place.
Right.
And he was perfect in it.
Oh, he was. He was great.
You couldn't have cast it better.
See, that's just the thing, is he's another one who can step into the role. You know, he can just step into it and make it, you know, put it on like a suit and wear it.
Yeah.
And get it, you know.
A year later, he was in Jurassic Park as a monitoring scientist, and I was totally buying it.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, although Jurassic Park, his one complaint about the merchandising for Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
He didn't get an action figure. All the way down to Nedry got an action figure. He did not. Not for the original Jurassic Park. So when he was Mace Windu, and they came out with the Mace Windu action figure, that made him happy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he was a bad motherfucker. But that being said, that's very interesting that they did not give him an action figure, but they gave Newman an action figure.
Nedry.
Well, Newman from the Seinfeld.
Oh, from Seinfeld, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, right. You know, but they didn't give...
Yeah, I know.
That's kind of disappointing.
All right, before he cleaned up his act, take a wild guess why he has such a strong, steady, steadfast view on that downward spiral and how and why to stay away from it.
Okay, and I didn't do the research on this, but I think I remember he had a substance abuse problem.
Yes, he
had a cocaine problem.
No, he did not.
Okay.
He overdosed on heroin 3 times.
It was heroin. Gotcha.
Yep, same thing Tommy Lee and the Motley Crue crew had an issue with. But yeah, he overdosed 3 different times before he finally got clean.
So when did he do these ODs?
Huh?
When did he OD?
When? I do not know. Now, I could probably
find
out.
Like, this is early, though, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He has appeared in 6 films that have been selected for the National Film Registry by the Library of Congress.
Oh, my God.
For being culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant.
Mm-hmm.
Can you guess 3 of the 6?
And God, what an honor, first of all.
For being in 1. He's in 6.
Yeah, I mean, good Lord. I'm going to go with Pulp Fiction, certainly.
Okay, that's 1.
I don't know which one, but I'm going to go with the Spike Lee film.
Yep.
I'm also going to go with... I'm going to go with A Time to Kill?
No.
Okay.
No Bond is on this list. These are the ones that, these are the 6. Do the Right Thing.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Goodfellas.
Oh.
Jurassic Park.
Really? Okay.
Pulp Fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Eve's Bayou and Iron Man.
Wow, Iron Man made it.
Culturally, aesthetically significant.
Yeah.
Okay, now, we've done the whole Batman thing because of the whole comic book connection and all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I want to meet the different people that Samuel L. Jackson has met. I say a week because you couldn't do it in a day. Now, he has appeared in a movie with each of and every one of the men who has played Batman on the big screen. You ready for the list?
Yeah.
He appeared in Jackie Brown, Out of Sight,
okay.
The Other Guys and RoboCop with Michael Keaton. He was in True Romance with Val Kilmer. He was in Shaft with Christian Bale. He was in Changing Lanes with Ben Affleck. And he even appeared in The New Age with Adam West.
Wow. Wow.
That right there is...
insane.
Wow.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, I mean, that's just incredible, just being able to pull all of that together.
Well, you know, there was a thing where Denzel Washington honored him at the Oscars, and it wasn't so much his films, but it was his philanthropic work, you know, and
his
causes that he gives to. And this man gives his money away. And of course, there are two, you know, causes that would deserve it, sure. But, you know, he's into giving back, probably more so than a lot of actors.
He feels like he owes the world his life.
Yeah. He's very appreciative. And the MCU, I have to say, these actors in the MCU, they are kind of known for giving to charities and being spokespeople for UNICEF and Feeding America and that sort of thing. Samuel Jackson's got like 30 or 40 different people on his payroll that he just gives back to.
And he does it on the down low. He does it quietly. He's just like Johnny with his charity work.
Yes, yes.
He does it quietly. A lot of times he does it anonymously because he's not doing it for someone to go, oh, wow, that was cool. Let's do a photo op. No, it's, you know, he's doing this because it's something he feels needs to be done.
Yeah, he's not doing it for the applause.
Right, exactly. He has his movies for that. He is unlike a couple of one of our actor personalities that we talk about regularly. He loves watching his own movies. He loves seeing, because he remembers how the scene played out, live and in person. And then to see that cut in with, you know, however they cut the camera angles or what they removed from the scene or, you know, all of that. He loves seeing the finished product. It makes him feel, it makes him feel like he's doing something awesome. He actually auditioned for a role in Mississippi Burning. Big, big, huge movie in 1988.
Yeah, it was James Woods.
Yeah, and it was... it was definitely a sign of the times. You know, you can't find that movie anywhere now.
Well, that's interesting.
I looked it up. It's not on any pay sites. It's not on any
streaming service.
Nope. Is not. But word of warning, guys. The country that refuses to remember their past is doomed to repeat it.
Indeed.
Just saying. Anyway, you know why he was turned down?
Why?
He was told he did not have enough of a Southern accent.
Right.
He did not sound Southern enough.
Well, you know, apparently he was theater trained.
He is, yes.
Before he did the film acting.
Yeah, and one of the things they do is teach you how to lose your accent.
Yeah, you have to enunciate so people in the back can kind of hear it and understand it.
Well, see, my sister, being in the hotel, motel, the entertainment industry, she went through some of the same classes when she started getting higher and higher up in the hotel chains. Because that's one of the things that... you need is you need to appear to be from anywhere USA.
Right.
So she went through the same type of classes to ditch the accent. And if you listen to her talk and listen to me talk, you're like, and y'all were raised together. Y'all weren't separated at birth or anything. You know?
That's crazy.
Because she's seriously, she has such a, it's a very distinctive way of talking, but there is no accent.
Yeah.
Not until she starts drinking.
Yeah.
Well, but yes.
That being said, you know, she's kind of a product of 21st century HR.
Yes. Yes,
so,
most definitely.
Sure. So, listen. And I know you're a cinemaphile.
Yes.
Whenever, I'm going to kind of flip the question on you. Whenever you think of Samuel Jackson, first of all, do you automatically think of Nick Fury?
No.
All right. Okay. So what do you think of?
The first thing I think of when I hear Samuel L. Jackson is, now we're going to stop fighting and learn how to get along, smack.
Okay.
I mean, honestly, that's the first thing I think of.
Valid.
But,
did you ever, you watched Pulp Fiction, right?
Oh, my, one of my all-time favorite Tarantinos.
Yeah, top three for sure.
But, yeah, I mean, the thing about it is in my mind, when I hear Samuel L. Jackson, my immediate response is, motherfucker. Because that's what you always hear him say. Yeah.
The motherfucking snakes.
Yeah, I am so tired. What's the I have quotes too. Yeah, I am getting really fucking tired of motherfucking snakes on this plane.
There was a great spoof movie. You know, they had disaster movie, epic movie.
Yeah.
You know those, but they did one based off the Hunger Games called The Starving Game.
Yes, I was gonna say he has played in an incredible number of spoofs.
Well, and they did this thing where he's like, I'm getting sick and tired of these motherfucking snakes. And the actress is like, yeah, me too. We need to handle it. And he's like, because these motherfucking snakes. And she's like, why do you keep saying that? And he's like, because they motherfucking pay me every time I motherfucking say there's motherfucking snakes on these motherfucking planes. And you're right, motherfucker has kind of like, I almost can't say motherfucker without having, like, in the back of my mind, this picture of Samuel Jackson saying it too. Motherfucker is his trademark.
Yes, it is. All right. When we were talking about Samuel L. Jackson, you mentioned a movie and you go, no, wait a minute. That's Lawrence Fishburne, right?
Yeah.
All right, here's one of the quotes I have.
Oh, okay.
People shout at me all the time, hey, love that Matrix, man. Yeah. Me too. I was actually on a plane last year, and this guy sat down next to me. Finally, he says something to me, and we started talking about Pulp Fiction. He said he couldn't remember the actor's name, so I tried to help, and I said, hey, you know, I think it might have been Samuel L. Jackson. He jumped in and said, no, it was the other guy, you know, that Fishburne guy. We rode the whole flight having this conversation, and then, right at the end, he looked at me hard and said, you sure look familiar. Are you sure you're not that Lawrence Fishburne? I said, no, and I definitely ain't in Pulp Fiction, neither.
Oh, yeah. What was mine?
I think everyone who says they don't like watching themselves in movies should stop lying.
Well, you know, if you want to kind of take that angle, Samuel Jackson is certainly more like the Hiddleston crowd because of the MCU.
Oh, yeah.
But Lawrence Fishburne would be more the Tim Burton crowd.
Right.
With the Pee Wee Herman. You know, he was Cowboy Curtis, on the animated. And
He was on the live action, too.
Yeah, well, he was. It was the live action. And you know, Fishburne and Jackson sort of had, in a way, parallel careers.
However, Fishburne was always more PC.
You know, I remember first seeing Lawrence Fishburne in Apocalypse Now, and he was that guy that was on the PT boat that was the young soldier that was just a fatalist. Like, he was harder than probably any character Samuel Jackson's portrayed.
Okay, but yeah. In reality...
Oh, well, yeah. Well, yeah.
Oh, I love this quote, and honey, I feel it. I think I told you the other day, a friend of mine was boxing up some stuff that he was sending to California, I believe. And he had one box that was too small, he had another one that was too big. He didn't have the stuffing for the big one, blah, 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 blah. So I took the small box and made it bigger and made him a box, okay? This is just kind of the stuff that I do. It's, you know, a creative outlet, I guess. But Lawrence Fishburne, oh my God. Sam has one quote. He says, "I don't understand how people live without creating." How do you live without creating? I get that. You know, every day you're doing a little bit of something. You're figuring out a new approach to a problem. You're doing something, even if it's not acting on screen. Yeah, there's got to be some type of creation in your life or what?
Yeah, be it writing or, you know, what have you.
Right. And I go through cycles. I like to build stuff. I like to write. I like to draw. I like to paint when the mood strikes, which it doesn't very often because I'm abysmal at it. But I enjoy it, you know.
Yeah. And that's, yeah.
But
these are artists that we're talking about here. And, you know, as just kind of movie watchers, we've got to kind of keep that in mind. You know, Hiddleston, certainly, I mean, Hiddleston, of course, yes. But certainly Johnny Depp is an artist. And, you know, certainly Samuel Jackson and Lawrence Fishburne, if we're on the subject, they're artists.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we were talking about Go the Fuck to Sleep.
Yes. I thought it might have been a voice actor. It was not.
No, it was unabashedly Samuel Jackson. And you know what? He gave his all. And gentle listener, I quite promise you, if you want to spend the $12 to get this audiobook, you're going to get a fantastic, if not short, experience. It's
honey, if you love Samuel L. Jackson, it is absolutely worth the $12.
It's so worth. Come on, man. $12.
Oh, that's okay. My kids, who don't have kids yet. My Faye, my Mars, both of them have downloaded that book.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because it's a great piece. It's 10 minutes. Come on, guys. Yeah. That being said, it will also kind of prepare you.
Oh, yes.
Go the fuck to sleep. And when Samuel Jackson is lamenting this, and he does the purposefully kind of tired voice, and he does all the pauses, if you're not ready for kids, you need to listen to this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. I've got a question for you. I was looking over some of my trivia. I've got a question for you.
Okay.
If there's a color associated with Sam, what would you think?
Purple.
Yes!
Purple.
The one thing he asked for.
In Star Wars.
Yep, was a purple lightsaber. But he said lightsabers are red and green. He goes, yeah, I know, but I want a purple one.
Oh, he rallied for that hard. And
he got
And they gave it to him. And it did, in fact, have a BMF on the hilt.
Yep. That it did. And, okay, so BMF, what does it stand for? Because I know what it stands for.
The bad motherfucker.
Thank you. Everybody
just like his wallet in Pulp Fiction.
I've heard so many people go, black
No. It's bad.
It's bad.
let us clear this up for anyone that has any confusion.
It bad. Is bad, bad motherfucker. B-A-D. Bad motherfucker. Mm-hmm. All right, here's the connection with Johnny.
Okay.
One of the people Sam considers a extremely close personal friend, damn near family, is also one that has co-starred with Johnny and considers Johnny family.
Paul Bettany.
Christina Ricci.
Sure, of course. Yep.
They still hold daily phone conversations, her about her kids, you know, him about the
life and everything.
Yeah. She has questions. She goes to him. He has questions about the younger generation. He goes to her.
Yeah. Oh, makes sense.
Yep. But yeah. Oh, his idol when he was growing up.
Yeah.
I've always said Tom needs to do the pirate thing.
Yeah.
He reminds me of one of the most notable swashbucklers of the 40s, 50s, and 60s.
Errol Flynn?
Absolutely. Errol Flynn was one of Sam's biggest idols when he was growing up.
Well, obviously he's a cinemaphile, you know.
He is, but he's also an Anglophile. And for those of you who don't study files. Yeah, you see what I did there, right?
Nice.
Yeah, an Anglophile is someone who prefers the English attitudes and England in general over other national philosophies and ideas and thoughts and actors. And they prefer the English version, basically, and Sam is one of those. I do believe Johnny is as well.
Well, he did, and I'm trying to find it, but he did a film, and I think it was called Formula 42, and he was a chemist in it, and it was kind of an actioner. It didn't do fantastic, but it was about this black man that had a connection to Scotland, and at the very end, inheriting this castle, and he was shooting golf the way he wanted to fucking shoot golf,
right?
On that course, and I was like, and he was wearing a kilt,
right?
Specific.
I've not seen the movie. I've seen the very ending of it.
And I thought it was an interesting choice, you know, that they would end it like that. And an Anglophile, I can certainly see it.
Yep. And what was the movie? What age? About like what time period was the movie in? What time?
It was the early to mid 90s.
Okay, so I've got 187. That's not it.
Nope.
Red Violin is not it.
He literally has so many
Hail Caesar
credits that, nope, that's not it.
The Return of Superfly. I gotta see that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know the movie you're talking about, and I am not seeing it on the list.
Formula 51, no. No, I've got to find this.
Search for One-Eyed Jimmy.
It is Formula 51.
Okay, what year?
2001.
Oh, that's why I didn't go far enough. Really? Oh, I don't have it on the list. It's not on my list. I've got Caveman's Valentine and the 51st State for 2001.
Yeah, I was totally off on that.
But no, I'm not finding Formula 51 anywhere. is what I'm saying. And of course, once again, I'm beginning to go IMDb over Wikipedia. Yep. But another movie that has a lot of big names that I've never heard of is, it came out in 1998, called Sphere.
Okay.
Dustin Hoffman, Sharon Stone, Samuel L. Jackson.
I haven't heard of that.
They find a UFO buried under 300 years of coral growth in the bottom of the ocean. Now, just one of those names.
Oh, you, Sphere, sure.
Yeah, I've never heard of it. It's definitely on my to-watch list now. But,
Yeah, Sphere had the liquid oxygen. It was a James Cameron movie.
Right.
And it had Sharon Stone, I think.
Yes, and all of that because I read the reviews. But yeah, it looks to me like it would have been an incredible film. I've never heard of it.
Yeah, it was known for this sequence where they had no way out, but they had a liquid oxygen.
When you're looking into the abyss, the abyss looks back into you, kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, because the liquid oxygen actually takes form.
Yeah, it was like a weird kind of water sphere and that sort of thing. It was a fairly intense movie.
Yeah.
You know. Samuel Jackson, of course, being in it, it's going to be intense anyway.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I cannot recall a film where Samuel Jackson was like an unassuming bookkeeper.
That doesn't exist, I don't think.
No, I don't think so either.
I just saw it. The 51st. Nope, that's 51st State. Never mind. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to find it one day. That being said, you know, his recent thing is Secret Invasion. I haven't really read a whole lot of reviews on it. People are still outraged because they used AI in the opening credits, but give me a Nick Fury, like the hero's Nick Fury.
Right. And that one's which one?
I want to watch it.
Which one?
It's on Disney Plus now, and it is their newest property for Marvel on Disney Plus. It's called Secret Invasion.
Okay.
And so the opening credits are basically, you know, Nick kind of going through some stuff, and they roll through the names and that sort of thing. But they used AI, like ChatGPS,
right,
to create the opening title sequence because they thought it would be telling about our current state of affairs with AI. And also, you don't know who is feeding you the information. And Disney was kind of subversive about it. They're like, maybe it's us.
Right.
That being said, a lot of people are really angry that they did this opening sequence on this Samuel Jackson vehicle because they are, in fact, using AI to artistically come up with this. And at the same time,
we have decrying
this writer's
AI
strike. Yeah, right. You could have paid actual artists to come up with this opening sequence,
right,
but you copped out and had some intern essentially come up with a opening title sequence because AI is, and I can attest to this, using AI to do a creative function is actually rather easy.
Well, I'm sorry, but they are a corporate production, and they're going to do what they feel they have to.
But it's funny that we're talking about Samuel Jackson, who's older than we are, that's got a resume that's 142 films, and we're talking about something that's pertinent and important to people literally this week, and right. Samuel Jackson's still in the middle of it.
The man could probably show me how to program my cell phone, all right?
Yeah, right, you know. I mean, he really is kind of involved with a lot of... He's always been involved with kind of cutting-edge stuff. Johnny would get involved in projects, and because it was Johnny and because it was good, all of a sudden it's cutting-edge.
Right.
Because Johnny made it cutting-edge.
Right.
Sam Jackson seems to have that step ahead.
Right.
Where he's like, Pulp Fiction, this is going to be huge.
Where it's, oh.
Taking on Nick Fury, this is going to be huge.
Here's a bit of trivia for you. Before they even created the role of Nick Fury, before they ever started doing the movie, any of the movies, Marvel came to him, Stan Lee came to him and said, hey, we're going to revamp our
yes.
Nick Fury character. And right. we'd like to use you as a base role model.
Because they already had in the comics.
Yeah, but we want to make it a little bit more obvious. You know, but we're not going to do this without your consent. Basically, we don't want you to
yes.
sue us for using you, but so we want you to sign this contract stating it's okay.
Yeah.
So he's like, yeah, of course, sure, no problem. And mm-hmm. then several years later, he actually, you know, there was no question. There was not even, I mean, it wasn't, it's we don't do this production without Samuel
yes,
L. Jackson
has to be him.
As Nick Fury.
I remember reading the Avengers Ultimates, which they base a lot of that stuff off of, about 5-6 years before they did the Marvel movie. And there's a sequence where Tony Stark is in orbit in the International Space Station, and his guest is Shannon Elizabeth from American Pie. Like, they named names.
Oh, wow.
And he's like, I don't even want to know who they would get to put me in this movie. Keep in mind, they hadn't made the movies yet. And he's like, Nick, who would play you? And it's very obviously bald African-American man. He's
yep.
like, Samuel Jackson, of course.
Awesome.
And then a couple of years later, I'll be damned.
Here we go.
They did it.
Well, speaking of, you know, being ahead of his time, this is quite literally him being ahead of his time. 6 different films that have not been released yet. The Kill Room and The Marvels are both set to be released in 2023. Argyle and Garfield are set to be released in 2024. And then there are two more, Damaged and The Piano Lesson, that do not have release dates yet and are still in post-production.
The Piano Lesson. I don't know a lot about Piano Lesson, but from what I understand, it was a play that he was involved with some long time ago.
And
they're finally filming it.
It struck a chord with him. Speaking
yeah.
of... Would you consider Samuel L. Jackson a musician?
No, I would not. Well,
I would, considering he plays symphony brass.
Yeah, he does the French horn, he does the trumpet,
saxophone,
the flute, the piccolo.
Anything brass, anything in the brass section he can play.
But that
trumpet,
was so
trombone,
long ago.
All the way down to sax. So, yep.
Wow.
So he is just as big a musician, but he is more theatrical in his being a musician than Johnny or Tom, either one.
Quick thing that I wanted to mention, just because I find lots of respect for it. You know, after MLK Jr.'s assassination.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
He was an usher.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. I found that... brilliant and telling at the same time.
Right. You know, he's a real American.
He was actually suspended from school at one point because of his ideals.
No kidding.
In 1969, he was suspended from Morehouse College after taking hostage several members of the Board of Trustees, including the father of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, during a protest for the failure of the university to have black trustees or a black studies program.
Morehead.
Yep.
In Atlanta.
Yes. Morehouse.
Or Morehouse, yeah.
In Atlanta, me. Yes.
You're
in 1969,
me.
Yes.
You're kidding me.
He graduated from Morehouse in Atlanta, yes.
Oh, so, Jennifer, this is one of yours.
Yes.
You can actually proudly claim this is one of mine.
Absolutely.
I don't know if Alabama's got anybody that's an MCU or a Tarantino.
Oh, sure. Actor, somewhere. I just have to dig a little bit.
I'm going to dig. That being said, that's crazy. So, okay. Okay, hang on a minute.
All right.
Let me make sure I heard you correctly.
Uh-huh.
They basically had a hostage situation at Morehouse.
Yep. Look it up. I did. It's funny as hell.
They took hostages.
Apparently, he was apologizing the entire time.
Also not surprised.
But yeah, look
sure, of course he was. Because apparently one of the hostages was Martin Luther King Jr.'s dad?
Yes.
Yeah, he's apologizing his ass off. Motherfucker.
Yeah, he took the dad hostage and ended up being an usher for the son.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep, sign of the times, my friend. Sign of the times.
What a guy.
All right, so we're going to continue this next week. We never did get around to discussing good guys and bad guys, but...
No. Well, we have definitely, I think, established the character that is Samuel Jackson. I think we've justified going forward because
absolutely.
This is a fantastic actor and what he's brought to the MCU. Oh, my God.
And he definitely, definitely deserves every last little bit of credit, of honoring, of talking about, of recognition. The man deserves all of that and more. He is an incredible actor. He is an incredible human being. And, I mean, what else needs to be said?
Well, you know, and you think about these MCU actors that have put this franchise up on the pedestal. You think about Robert Downey Jr., of course.
Right.
Iron Man. You couldn't have had anybody else.
No.
Scarlett Johansson, Black Widow, arguably. You couldn't have had anybody else. And Chris Evans as Captain America, arguably.
Yep. And, of course, Chris Hemsworth and Tom Hiddleston. There is no one else.
Pardon me. Right. Tom Hiddleston, for God's sake.
Yeah, there is no one else that could have filled that role.
You know, the amazing chemistry that we had here. And I love superhero movies. Don't get me wrong. I love superheroes. But the chemistry that was coming off of the screen and... Well, still, Marvel movies to this day.
Yep.
You've got some actors that are indispensable. Certainly, Samuel Jackson is in the pantheon of, you know,
yes,
the house
he
that
is.
Marvel built.
And what I found funny, what made me kind of hee-hee, is, okay, he's got movies that are not scheduled to be released for another year or two.
Right.
Now, the man is, he'll be 75 this year.
Good Lord.
So,
parents' age.
It is conceivable, God hope it doesn't happen, but it's conceivable that one or more of these movies will be released after his passing. However, I think he's a lot like Rick Springfield in the essence that he's not going to slow down. There is no slowing down, and he acts looks and performs like someone who is 20, 30, 40 years his junior.
Oh, most certainly.
And it's just incredible to me. I could not, I mean, I knew he was of an age with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea that he was older than her.
Yeah.
And, right. Oh my God, just, it's incredible. Obviously, doing what you love keeps you young. So.
Yeah, and, you know, I remember seeing him in Django Unchained, and he was playing an older person than him, and they had him in prosthetics.
Yep.
And he absolutely, I don't know if he even needed the prosthetics. You know, he played that older person.
He played the older black caretaker.
Yeah, right. Perfect. And he, I mean, he did perfect.
And it goes against everything that he honestly believes, but yet he could still put that character on like a suit and give it to
character, you. That character was necessary.
Well, yeah.
And he knew it. And absolutely. He gave it his all. Absolutely.
But no, I mean, that's what I'm saying about him being such a, he is so far above your normal cut of actors these days.
So, and we probably need to close.
Yeah, we do.
But let me ask you one question. If you could have seen him in any Johnny Depp property or co-starring, what do you more easily see him doing?
Okay, more easily see him doing, or what would I have loved to have seen him do?
You know what? Both. But first, more easily see him
do.
Because I think I know, but it's a cop-out. Like, I could see him doing a Pirates of the Caribbean character, but in a way that would have been too easy.
Only if he could do a Jamaican accent.
Oh, psh.
The role I could see him step the most easily into would probably have been the bursar, the judge in Sweeney Todd, Severus Snape.
Nice.
Alan Rickman's character.
Yeah, nice.
I could see him stepping into that role seamlessly.
Yeah.
The role that I would have loved to have seen him play, with quite a bit more cursing and other things, is the assistant in From Hell.
Ooh. Yes.
I could, motherfucker, what the hell are you doing back up in here? Now, you know your ass needs to be.
Preposterous.
Absolutely. I would have loved to have seen, and don't get me wrong, you know, I love my guy, Hagrid. Hagrid, sorry.
Johnny Coltrane.
Yeah, love Coltrane. He's amazing.
Sure.
But if I were to pick a role, handpick a role for him to play with Johnny,
yes,
that would be it. Because I could see him, I could see the whole movie ending differently if it was Samuel L. Jackson as his assistant rather than Robbie Coltrane.
I'm going to throw this in there. Mordecai would have been a much better movie if Samuel Jackson was in it.
Okay. All right. I would have probably enjoyed the movie if
Samuel
Jackson was in it.
Maybe it wouldn't have been a better movie, but I would have enjoyed it more.
Absolutely. All right. We are at 1 hour and 15 minutes. We have got to cut this down.
Yeah.
Contact information, listen to the previous podcast, listen to the next one. We got to go. We'll holler at y'all later. Next week, we're going to do more SLJ? Yeah, SLJ. We're going to do more Samuel L. Jackson. Good guys versus bad guys, good characters versus bad ones, and what makes the difference. How about that?
Nice.
Absolutely. So, I'm Jen.
I'm Carrie.
We'll catch y'all later.
Peace and love.
Love and peace, guys, always.
Bye.
Bye.